Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
So the last 2 weeks you've had Mark do a two-parter series, which I believe has got a third part coming next week for you. So, and he was talking about going to a new level in our faith and understanding of God. So the first week he wanted us to know not only that God can and God will, but that God can and God will through me or through us. Do you remember that? Good. You remembered first week. And last week he built on that. He wanted us to know that we can claim promises in Scripture. And that God has for us things that we can claim. But he also sometimes does it in his ways and not our ways. And so that was like the first level was like, yes, God has promises for us. And second level was we have to go through his ways. And sometimes we've got to go through the storm. And he used that passage of Jesus and his friends in the boat and the storm comes up and they go to him and wake him up. And like, you know, Jesus, what are you doing? You're asleep. We're going to die. And that trust that we need to put in Jesus, that he's going to get us. He said at the beginning he's going to get us to the other side of the lake, and we need to trust that that will be. But sometimes what we have to go through in the meantime, we've got to trust that God's ways are better than our ways. And so he was taking us to that second level of going through the storm and having that testimony through the storm of what God has done in that time. Well, I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like I'm going from one storm to the next. Anyone else relate to that? Can I just get some fine weather in between, please? Like just some sunny skies, some maybe some clouds, but why does it have to be storms and rain from one to the next? But I know that God is teaching me and preparing me. And Mark talked a little bit about this last week, that idea that we're being prepared through the storm, prepared for something. Even if I can't always see it at the time, I often see it after the fact. And I can look back and go, okay, that's why I had to go through that storm. That's why it took that long. That's why God had that way for me. And for a little while now, I feel like our household, so the four of us in our house, we've all had some kind of medical thing going on over the last little while. We've had colds, we've had infections, we've had antibiotics, we've had medications, we've had ultrasounds, blood tests, doctors, specialists, creams, surgery, laryngitis, nausea, stomach ache, vomiting, parasites, anemia, insomnia, and lots of tiredness. Can anyone else relate? Yes. I am sick and tired of being sick and tired. And after Mark's sermon last week, I came across this scripture and I wanted to claim it because I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I thought, great. Mark's first part of his sermon was talking about claiming the promises of God. I didn't like level two so much because I have to go through the storm. I like the idea of claiming the scripture and having it done, deal. But I know that God is working through me. So I'm going to read from the book of Isaiah. It's chapter 40 and I'm going to start at verse 28. And part of this, I want to claim today, but I know I'm not there yet. And he has a great promise in it for me. But I believe there's a great promise in it for all of us. So we're going to read from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 to 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary. Well, that's lucky for him. And his understanding no one can fathom. But this is where the promise is. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Amen, anyone? Who wants that? They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Who wants to claim that today? I so do. I so do. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. And the acknowledgement that even young people are going to get tired and weary. It's not to say only, it says even. So if you're not a young person and you still feel tired, you're still included in this passage. It says even youths, even young men. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Do you believe it? I believe it, but I just haven't got there yet. And a lot of things in Scripture is now, but not yet. Jesus came with a gospel of now, but not yet, when he talked about heaven, when he talked about the healing, and when he talked about things that he was doing. It was a now, but not quite yet, not in its fullness. I just have to trust that God will get me to the other side of the storm. But I know God is teaching me something in the meantime. But I get frustrated in the meantime. Anyone else get frustrated? I say to God, haven't I learned my lesson yet? Can't it be the end? Can't I get the victory? Can't I get the finish line? Can't I get the peace? Can't I get the strength and the power yet? But God's ways are not my ways. And God's time is not my time, unfortunately. And in this current season that I'm in, God is giving me two words, a phrase that he's wanting me to learn, but to also live. And you know what those two words are? Go slow. Go slow. God is wanting me to go slow. Well, I can tell you, at the moment, I actually don't have enough energy to do anything else but go slow. God has a way of getting what he wants and what he wants in us when we don't listen early enough. I was oblivious to that this message, God was trying to get my attention way before I got to the point where I couldn't go any faster. The world today has become so chaotic, so pressured, so fast-paced, so impatient, so rushed, and all round busy. Anyone else feel that? Compared to my childhood, this world is like a roller coaster on speed. Life was so much simpler. Everything must be instant. We all want an answer now. We expect people to answer a phone call at the time we ring them. We expect an answer from an email 10 minutes after we send it. We expect doctors to run on time. We even have the expectation that our food should be ready moments after we've decided what we actually want. We call it fast food because we expect it to be ready fast. One of my kids, and I won't tell you which one because they probably get embarrassed enough that I use them in sermons, used to get very annoyed if we went somewhere other than fast food because he says, I don't want slow food. Oh, sorry. I've only got one boy. So, oh, well. I didn't tell you his name, so that's all good. You can work it out for those that know him. Even our home life has become fast and busy. I'm so thankful I only have two children because that's busy enough for us. And they're at two different schools. They have two different sport practices at the same day, at the same time in opposite ends of the Southwest. Well, it feels like the Southwest. One's in Dalyella, one's at Back Beach. So we have to divide ourselves. We have four sports games during the week. We have four different people's work schedules because both our kids work now, and Mark and I. trying to sync that, and that's without homework, last minute assignments that seem to happen 5 minutes before I want to go to bed that are due the next morning, work placements, and the endless number of things that just come up all the time. God has a great sense of humor in wanting me to go slow. I don't have time to go slow. I've got too much going on. But in truth, I don't have time not to go slow. Because if I don't go slow, I need to heed his warning. Otherwise, I may not go at all. Anyone got to that point where they feel like they can't go at all? God has a way of getting our attention when we're not listening. And he's saying to me, go slow. Now, growing up as a child, I was exposed to a wide variety of eclectic music because my dad is a music lover and he enjoyed lots of classics from the 60s and 70s. And one of his favourite artists, or I suppose they're a duo, group, whatever you call them, is Simon and Garfunkel. Anyone familiar with Simon and Garfunkel? Yep. And this week, I think it's been at least a week, I've had this song going through my head from Simon and Garfunkel, that God is downloading stuff about going slow, but this song has come to mind and it's been on repeat. And I think I even heard it on Sesame Street during my childhood. So I heard it at home as well as on the TV watching Sesame Street. So you probably know it. It goes, slow down, you move too fast. You gotta make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da. Feeling groovy. Hello, lamppost, what you knowin'? I've come to watch your flowers growin'. Ain't you got no rhymes for me? Doo-doo-doo, feeling groovy. Ba-da-da-da-da, feeling groovy. I got no deeds to do, no promises to keep. I'm dappled and drowsy and ready to sleep. Let the morning time drop all its petals on me. Life, I love you, all is groovy. Do you know that one? I think my dad will be proud. He usually watches me in the afternoon. I'll probably get a thumbs up from him. I believe this song has two titles. Feeling Groovy, you know, that makes sense, the feeling groovy part. And the other one is the 59th Street Bridge Song. Anyone heard that title for this song? Yeah. So the first one's self-explanatory about feeling groovy. But the second one, I had to do some reading up because I thought, this is an odd title. What's this 59th Street Bridge thing? So I read up about it, and apparently the writer, Paul Simon, lived in New York, or at this particular time he was living in New York, and there is actually a bridge called the 59th Street Bridge that is in New York, and it goes from Queens to Manhattan between the two, and it's a really, like, I don't know if anyone's been to New York. I've not been to New York, but I've watched TV shows. Anyone been to New York? Nope. It's a chaotic city. You can imagine New York being really chaotic. And this is back in the 60s, so today it's even worse. But in the 60s. And he's actually, the writer is watching this constant flow of traffic, this really busy stream backward and forward on this bridge. And he's realizing there's such this hustle and bustle of life. You know, why? Let's slow things down. We're going to make the morning last. Like, why are we so pressured? And so it was this, he was being reminded of the need to slow down and appreciate the simple things like the cobblestones and the flowers. And, you know, the saying, stop and smell the roses. And I like the line, looking for fun and feeling groovy. How often are you looking for fun? Are you feeling groovy? I don't feel very groovy a lot of the times. And my kids certainly don't think I'm anything groovy. Groovy's not even a cool word, I don't even think, in my kids' ear. But I actually don't even think I've got to a point where I'm looking for fun anymore. Has anyone else got to that point where they just feel like they're just going through the humdrum of life and they're not actually even looking for the things that they enjoy anymore? Do you take time to stop and smell the roses? Mine are all needing deadheading out the front of my garden. It's quite embarrassing walking past them. When I think about the life of Jesus, I think he would have been really busy. Do you think he would have been busy? He had lots to do. He performed miracles, he healed people, he taught people, he fed people, he travelled from town to town. But there never seems to be a sense of rush in his stories. He may have done lots of things and seemed busy, but he didn't seem rushed, did he? The stories all have a pace to them that seems normal, doesn't seem rushed. I don't think, you know, he's ever running from town to town. He's only ever walking. He seems to stay in one place for a certain amount of time. He's not kind of going, oh, sorry, I've got to go to the next place. And even when his friend Lazarus dies and he gets news of that, he's not in the same town. He deliberately waits 2 more days before he goes to visit and raise him from the dead. He's not in a rush. Jesus is going slow. In an earlier story with Lazarus's 2 sisters, Mary and Martha is a common story that lots of us may know. Mary and Martha were 2 very different women. And Jesus had gone to their house for a meal, but also to catch up with them. And Martha was running around like a headless chook in the kitchen. She was the busy one. She was the rushed one. She was going, "Rah, I need to get all this stuff done." And where was Mary? Mary was sitting the feet of Jesus, listening to what he had to say. And Mary's going berko in the background, "Why aren't you telling her to come and help me? I got all this stuff to do." As Mark would say, they got the chili barbecue wings, is that what it is? Hot smoky barbecue wings or whatever. She's cooking up a storm and she wants Mary to come and help. And Jesus says to her, "Why are you so crazy busy?" That's not the important thing here, Martha. What Mary is doing is important. Sitting, listening, stopping. How many times are we like the Martha and go, "I've got all this stuff to do. I don't have time to sit and just listen and stop." Jesus is encouraging us to go slow. He promotes it. And even in his words in the book of Matthew, and I think we're going to have it up on the screen, it's in chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. This is Jesus speaking. And if you want to read it in your Bible, that's okay, read it up on the screen. But if you find it easier to listen with your eyes closed, do that in this moment. I want to read this. And I want you to hear Jesus speaking to you in these words. He's saying, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." My yoke is easy and my burden is light. This yoke and this burden that Jesus has for us does not sound rushed. And it's not pressured. It's not fast-paced, and it doesn't seem busy. It seems to be just at the right pace. Being in sync with Jesus. That's like this, that's the yoke. We're in sync with Jesus. It's easy, it's light, and it's restful. So if this is what Jesus wants for us, why do we get caught up in the world's pressures that are completely the opposite? Do you know that Jesus did not necessarily say yes to every request of him? He didn't heal all the people who came that were sick. Sometimes he delegated tasks to his disciples. Sometimes he involved people in their own healing. And most importantly, he took time away from the crowds to go and pray. Even though he knew there were so many people waiting for him, he took the time to go away and find quiet space to be with his Father, to be with God. So why do we feel necessary to say yes to everything? Even Jesus didn't do that. And he's Jesus. He could have said yes. He could have done all those things. But he's setting up us a model for our lives that it's impossible to say yes to everything. God doesn't want us to say yes to everything, because when we say yes to things, we've got to say no to something else. And often the things that we say no to are the things that are the important stuff. I've just started reading a book. I have read it before, but my memories are really bad, so I often have to reread books every couple of years. It's called Crazy Busy. It's about God trying to download some stuff in me in this go slow download time that he's giving. And it's written by Kevin DeYoung. He's actually a church pastor in America. So his story relates to those that are in church ministry, but he's got lots of points in there that are for everybody. And in chapter 2 of his book, he talks about some warnings of busyness. And the first danger that he talks about is that busyness can ruin your joy. Because you get so busy doing everything that you forget where the joy is anymore. The numerous things that we do take over to the point that we no longer get time to choose the things that we enjoy, because we're too busy doing all the things that we think we have to do. It's like looking for fun and feeling groovy. Well, we've stopped. Stop looking for fun and we don't feel groovy anymore. And God fully intends for us to have lives full of joy. He speaks about it in various parts of the scriptures. The whole book of Philippians is like a book about joy. And it talks about rejoicing always and rejoicing in the Lord, rejoicing in our circumstances, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent. In the book of Galatians, it's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Joy is it's one of the things that makes evident that the Spirit is at work in our lives. And when we are super busy and no joy, we don't look like a very good Christian to other people. Why would they want to become a Christian if we're grumpy and too busy to even sit and chat with people? They look at our lives and they think, wow, I don't want that. That's the world. The rest of the world is like that. I want something different. Where's the joy? Joy in our lives is evidence that Spirit is in us. But busyness becomes a distractor to what God originally intends for us. We often become too busy to pray or to see God at work around us, to enjoy his creation. And his creation is not just plants and animals. His creation is the people he puts in our lives. We get so busy that we even forget to enjoy the people we have around us that he's put in our lives. What is it that God has highlighted to you today? Does he want to encourage you through that scripture in Isaiah that we read at the beginning, that he will bring you strength when you are weary? Maybe you too need to heed the warning to go slow. Maybe you need to know that God will get you through the storm that you're in at the moment. Maybe you need to look for fun and start to feel groovy and find joy. Perhaps you've lost that joy because of the busyness. Maybe you need to sink your life like the yoke. Sink your life with Jesus. That is light, easy, and restful. Can you go a little slower in life in order to have more joy? How can you sink your life more with Jesus? Maybe you need to say no to some requests. Maybe you need to delegate to others. Maybe you need to take yourself away, as Jesus did, to a quiet place, away from others to pray. We're going to sing a song in a moment. It's called Lord, I Need You. So I'll get the singers to come up. And as we think about what has God said to you today, what is it that he's wanting to remind you of? What is he wanting to download to you? What is he wanting to you to get out of today? Is he wanting you to hear the message about go slow? Is he wanting you to have more joy? Is he wanting you to be more in sync with him? This song says, Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. That's where we find rest, is in the presence of Jesus, when we're with him and when we're in sync with him. Without you, I fall apart. I definitely fall apart when I don't have Jesus. And it says, you're the one that guides my heart, knowing that it's God that's guiding us. He's going to get us through the storm. He's going to be the one who gets us from A to B. Lord, I need you. Every hour, I need you. So as we sing this, may God reveal to you what it is that he wants to remind you of. What does he want to be speaking into you?